It's happening.
Hi.
Hi.
My God. I know we're not jumping right into it, but I do have to say that I am so nervous.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh.
Because I love her. Well, I mean, okay, I'm trying.
You are a little jittery.
I'm trying to. Well, I mean,
I'm getting like jittery energy.
Have
from
we
you.
Met? I'm also hungry. Yes.
Oh yeah, I am also hungry.
Anyways, we'll get to that in a minute. Mm-hmm. We've had like the biggest names in fragrance on our little show,
yeah.
And it's like I don't get nervous about anything.
I know,
and I'm unwell right now. I mean, baseline, but
unwell.
Anyway.
Your blood sugar is low.
Yeah, I know. I'm a frail wave.
You're suffering like a greyhound chihuahua.
This recording, yeah, exactly.
Shivering in a tiny sweater.
It's a Thursday night, mm-hmm. and we're feeling sexy. Mm. I love recording on Thursday nights.
And it's a full moon lunar eclipse tonight.
I don't know what any of that means, but I love it. I support it. It's Scorpio season.
It is scorpionic.
What is the word that
was
I
that
just...
Was that a Britney album? No.
No.
I feel like it should be.
Bionic was a Christina album. How dare you?
They're not feuding anymore.
No.
It's okay.
Brittany's free.
She's free.
I'm so happy.
Yeah. Good for her.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Go God. Do whatever the fuck you
what
want.
What is she going to do?
You know what? Hopefully nothing. Hopefully we never see her.
I wonder
again.
If she sues her parents.
Oh, hopefully she kills her parents.
I was just thinking that. I'm like, what if she murders someone? As if the conservatorship is preventing her from murder.
Right. I saw this tweet that someone said she should be legally allowed to hunt her family.
Just like on an island, like on a private island.
I'm like, I don't think they're wrong.
Yeah.
We love you, Britney Spears.
I expect them to all be served.
Yes, God.
Is that how suing works? You have to like sneakily give papers to a person? Why is that a thing?
I don't know.
It's like a weird little law pageantry where if you serve someone papers for anything, you have to do it in person and they have to confirm that they are who they are. I just remember that being like a weird plot point in that now defunct show Empire.
Oh God.
Where like they like paid like a cater waiter to like serve this woman a subpoena.
That's amazing.
I know. And then they said her name. They're like, so-and-so. She's like, yes. And then it's like, you've been served. She took the papers and she immediately dropped it as if it was on fire. And it's like, too late. You touched the paper.
It scalded her.
Now you have to go to court.
I'm so glad I don't watch TV.
Imagine if you could be like a postmate for that. You could be hired to serve people papers.
Just like hire a messenger to serve some of the papers. I mean,
I'm sure that's a job.
Crazier things have happened.
I feel like it's something to tell you.
What do you have to tell me?
It was something to do about all the celebrity beauty lines. Are you wearing the Harry Styles pleasing?
No.
Okay. You're just wearing a white and off-white nail polish. And I'm like, is that the Harry Styles
Don't look
pleasing?
Too close because it's like on its last. Like I'm literally redoing them right after this. No. Okay. So can we all, this is going to make us lose subscribers.
I'm okay with that.
I'm sorry. Like that, what was it? Dazed? That like new spread came out
of yes,
him
his fashion
wearing
spread.
More.
Looking like a little elf.
Dresses.
A little fashion elf.
And listen, I'm with it. I'm with a man in a dress, but I'm like, can we at any point stop queer baiting? Like,
is that what he's doing?
Yes. I'm okay. And I'm just like, I'm tired.
Is he queer?
I'm too hungry to have this conversation. It's like, none of our business if he's queer or not. And that's okay. If he's a straight man in a dress, that's valid too. But I am so, and maybe he's not the problem. Maybe it's everyone sucking his dick about like, Harry's changing the narrative around gender. He's totally deconstructing. Yeah. It's like, no, he's not. Because he's not partaking in the same conversation that he's starting or that y'all are giving him credit for starting. Mm. You know what I mean? It's like,
I think it's because he's like, I guess a hetero cis male.
Yeah.
That they're like.
Presumably hetero. We don't know.
Yes.
And that's fine. Actually, I think he's bi. And that's great.
That's fine. But I think he's not. I don't think he's out as bi.
I
don't remember reading that.
I think he's
presumed straight.
Sure, fair.
So as a presumed straight cishet dude, they're like, oh, he's like turning masculinity up on its head by wearing pearls and nail polish and stuff.
No, he's fucking not. And fine. Like, it is also valid for a straight man to do that. Like, with no parade. Great. I just like.
But he's so famous that there will always be a parade.
Also that. But like it's
like, not even. He might not even be doing it intentionally. It's just what the conversation becomes.
I haven't like rehearsed this in my head, so I'm sure I'm shooting my mouth off. But like, it's just. It's like, actually, he's not like doing anything major. And he's also not doing anything for like the community is that you are giving him credit for helping out.
I thought he donated to LGBTQ.
I'm sure I'm like, perhaps that he has. It's just like, he. Stresses me out that like we're all giving him all of these flowers.
He has a platform for a conversation that is not about him.
And
yeah.
He's like making, I don't know. It's like, I can't control the media cycle of of how people respond to a famous man wearing a dress. But it's like, he's not doing what y'all think he's doing. He's not like breaking down gender norm. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's, and also like, where's this energy for the actual queer people who are fucking doing this? Mm-hmm. Not on your magazine covers, not on all this. Like, where's that? And I realize that like they don't have platforms, so it's like not the same conversation, but it's like
I'm thinking of like Billy Porter. He always gets celebrated for wearing like couture gowns on red carpet.
Yes. But like,
he's just one dude though.
He's not as famous as Harry Styles. I don't think it's on the same level.
Exactly. Like, he's not Harry Styles.
He's not Harry Styles.
Yeah.
You know, he's not young. He's not white. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, and of course, Harry's not the only man or male presenting person.
I feel like a lot of
wear a dress
dude pop stars kind of skirt the line of like wearing make, like Troy Sivan,
which
wears
is
makeup.
Dope. Yeah. Like, you know, but it's also like, I think there's a lot of ownership that a lot of others have with this relationship with fashion and beauty that Harry doesn't. And Harry's getting all the credit. And
is he?
Yeah, he's getting a lot of shine for all this shit.
I think that the people giving him credit are also really basic.
Yeah, I mean, also that. And like, not that I don't, maybe I'm not mad at Harry Styles, maybe I'm mad at everyone else for sucking his dick about something that
I think that.
Like, I don't, and that's fine. Yeah. Like, I realize that like,
I'm always more annoyed with the way media spins things.
It is queerbaiting
though,
like, sorry.
These people, like, they don't know what they're doing. They live in fucking a la-la land of yes people all around them. So, like, wouldn't this be fun if I did this? Like, wouldn't that be so wild?
Yeah. But it's also, then it's like, okay, y'all can, you know, share Harry's little Instagram posts all in your stories, whatever, and look cool as fuck. But, like, when you see a gender-expansive person on the street dressing however the fuck they want, where is that energy?
That's
or, like,
true.
What do you...
It's a different context.
It is. I mean, not that you're going to go up and be like, hey, but it's also like...
I'm mostly just like, can we make the clothes look cooler?
Yeah.
They just look silly.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Yeah.
But to me, I'm just like, these look like a child's school play costume.
Sometimes it looks dope as fuck.
Yeah.
And like, that's great. I think he always, it's not how he looks that's the problem. It's just like the fervor around it. It's actually, it's not that. Like, I don't know. Does any of this make fucking sense?
I think it's valid. I think it's a conversation a lot of people
it
are having, for sure.
I feel it.
But I don't think he's... He's not the poster child for dudes wearing nail polish and pearls.
I think he is, though.
Everyone needs to calm down.
Everyone needs to widen the scope a little bit.
I'm not surprised he released a nail polish line. If anything, I'm like, of course he released a fucking nail polish line.
Yeah.
But I'm like, wait, there's four colors. Two of them are similar. And what's an eye pen?
It's not even the polish that bugs me out. It's the, none of it bugs me out for the record. I mean, I think it's actually very cool. Like, Harry Styles released a nail polish brand.
I was like waiting for that. I was like, of course.
I think it's dope.
Yeah.
The skincare is giving white label to me.
Oh, for
it's
sure.
Like, ooh, maybe we don't do this
don't
all at the same
the
time.
I don't get the eye pen.
The illuminating serum.
Yeah.
It also looks like 90s Guerlain and also like early aughts e.l.f. And I'm like, this doesn't look Lux. Ooh, which is fine. It doesn't need to be Lux. And that's not what I'm saying. It just looks a little like... off the shelf. The nail polish
doesn't look intentional.
Gorgeous. It does not look intentional.
I wish there were more colors or different colors. I was like, I don't know why you need two off-white shades.
So one's an actual, it's a lot like this actually.
Yeah.
And then one's a top coat, but it looks white in the component. But even that, it's like.
Even that's a boring, like, why?
Yeah.
I wish there was like a blue or like a silver.
I will say another very big, very popular male celebrity is about to drop a nail polish brand, and I have seen the creative deck, and I do have one exclusive on it if I can get that publication to pick it up. And it is very cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, I don't know how closely Harry was involved in pleasing or not. Maybe it's none of my business, but this male celebrity is extremely involved in this new brand. I've seen it all. It's really cool. Oh, I'll show you guys on my phone.
Right.
Does
everyone need to fucking come out with a product?
No, but now...
Like, everyone does.
But it's just the world we're living in. I get it.
Know.
It's the R.E.M. beauty of it all. It's the Kylie Cosmetics of it all. But it's like, this is sort of where we're at. And it's like the same people who were bitching about celebrity fragrances 20 years ago, which were probably me as well.
Were they bitching about?
Yes.
Okay. I don't think I was in that conversation.
It was it was as prolific as the beauty and skincare and nail polish is now. And it's just what it is, you know. I think this is how brands look right now and going forward for the near future.
Oh God, that's depressing.
Anyways, I was sort of talking shit as I do about hairstyles.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck him, fuck his queer baiting, like, rah, rah, rah. I'm not mad at the nail polish, to be clear. But then what shows up at my house?
I was going to say, I was like, you got the Miller.
What shows up at my house? And I had connected with the PR to be...
Who does her PR?
I can't remember off the top of my head, but I'll tell you. I like the girl, and I just responded like, oh, that's so cool, you're handling it. Like, mm-hmm. didn't ask for it, didn't think I was getting it, whatever. Yeah. So all these girls posting it, I was like, this is fun, because I know they all like Harry, whatever. And then I get this big-ass box, and I was like, oh, no. I opened it up, and I'm like, oh, no. So, yes, my fake-ass posted it. And
did you get the sweatshirt?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I'm gonna
send it. Did like the sweatshirt, but I just don't like the idea of wearing a sweatshirt that's like a brand merch.
I love that idea, to be honest. I'm fake.
I'd rather support like a band or a person.
Well, yeah, but if you got it for free, and if other people didn't.
I guess. I have a couple sweatsuits from brands that I wear like at home, like my lounge gear, and so many robes. I love a robe, but I'm running out of places to put. I have my big fluffy Old Spice robe.
Yeah.
Ooh, Sunny's Face sent me a nice like waffly hotel robe, nice. Which is cool. Yeah. So now I have texture options in robes.
Love that.
I never have to leave my house or wear clothes.
Or wear clothes. Who wants to wear clothes? Anyway, I probably could have been more coherent about my feelings on Harry Styles. Don't cancel me.
I think you're pretty clear about your feelings on Harry Styles. Like,
as I always am. I just think it's a new, complicated, nuanced conversation that everyone is having, but not very well. Also me.
Fair.
I just illustrated.
Yeah.
Help me.
Has he done any press for it? I don't think he has. And honestly?
That's a good question.
That's great.
Probably that...
I don't need a whole article about why you launched a fucking nail polish brand.
I think that big spread, though, like, was it.
Okay, I didn't read that. Also, Dazed, really?
I don't know that it was Dazed. It was one of those, though.
I think it was Dazed.
Paper was a Dazed.
Yeah.
I will say, the site and the assets are really good. You see his hands, which are kind of iconic because of all of his rings. Yeah. Wow, I wonder where he got that idea. And, I love his Gucci, initial rings. Yeah, right. exactly. But you see, of course, hands of different skin colors, nails of different lengths. But then you also see sort of like hands that are of different ages, which is cool because you don't see faces, no bodies. Yeah,
yeah,
it's nicely done. And yeah, so I should shut up a little bit. But
give me a silver, Harry. Give me a blue.
I will say it should have been nail polish first.
I don't care for pink. That's just my personal opinion.
Excuse me.
It's my personal opinion. As nail polish. I like pink on other things. But again, why two of the same shade?
Yeah.
Wait, what was the other? It was black?
It's black. It's they all have a pearl element. So it's black with a tiny bit of blue pearl.
Pearl. I like
pink
that.
Pink with a tiny bit of blue pearl. Ugh. That white with a tiny bit of blue pearl. So the mic is all the same. Right. Then the
top coat,
which is a sheer with more of a pearl. I don't think the top coat like looks as good as people want it to, but no one wants to talk about that. I also have
maybe it's like a layerable. Sheer
it, it is, but I don't think it looks.
Okay. Fair enough.
Looks and kind of looks like jizz.
Oh, it 100% looks like sparkly twilight jizz. Nutted in the sun.
Not. God.
Wow. Now I'm like legitimately wondering. I'm like, if Edward nuts in the sun, does that also sparkle?
Okay. Can we please? who am I to shame you about talking about coming at this point? My God.
My God. That went off.
It certainly did go off. Can I say something?
Yes.
I talked a little bit about Tom Ford Metal Leak last week.
Yeah.
I had like put it on my hand, but I hadn't really worn it. I wore it this week. And let me back out of this. I recently came to know that one of my favorite scents, Replica Fun Fair Evening, has been discontinued.
Oh, it has?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I mean, that's a big ass collection.
Whoa.
Not that to say that like you
can't.
Do
they regularly discontinue scents to make room for new ones?
I don't think so. They have been dropping a lot, so it doesn't.
Yeah.
But they've got a lot of florals. I'm like, bitch, take those away.
Fucking.
Nobody wants that.
Flower market.
Yeah,
get rid of that.
Please. So I was a little devastated. I do have like a pretty full bottle. I'm doing fine. But
ask them for like whatever inventory they have.
Run me the back stock.
Yeah.
Margiela. I put on Metalik and I was like, this smells just in a good way. Just like.
Really?
Fun Fair Evening.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I mean, I was like, oh, but it'll wear down. It'll fade. It'll change. Yeah. And it really didn't.
Interesting.
It's just got that same humid, dusky, cotton candy, August evening, sunset, recycled air, smoky, churro vibe to it.
Churro vibe.
And yeah. And it's all that to say, I really like it. It is shockingly similar. I should wear them at the same time to really
yes, you should.
The details.
You should do a me and do one on each wrist.
Yeah, I will. I'll pull a Sable Young. It's my favorite thing to do. Should we start a fragrance TikTok?
Ooh, maybe we should. I just started doing fragrance reviews for Allure's TikTok.
I saw that, queen.
They are, God, I don't understand. Like, people who are like TikTok creators, like, holy shit, there's so much. It's so laborious doing a TikTok.
Yep.
Like, even the way that you have to record shit on TikTok, it's like not very user-friendly. Mm-hmm. Like, once you go forward, you can't go backwards. Nope. It's so, I mean, I'm sure like once you get the hang of it, it's a lot easier. But like, as I was learning, I'm like, wow, why did that take me 5 fucking hours to
do? That's the thing. And it's like, I know people love TikTok and like no judgment to that. I don't use TikTok because I'm afraid the algorithm is going to show me who I really am. You know what I mean? It's like, and I like, I'm doing fine. You know, I don't need and all that.
Yeah.
But also, I don't like, I just don't have it in me to make TikToks. Now that I'm too fucking old, I'm just too fucking busy. And
it's so time consuming, dude.
And you know, like, I know that I am a perfectionist.
Yeah.
And that shit will take me 2 days. Yeah. And for what?
Well, the good thing about TikTok is that it's not like how perfect your video is. Often, like, the things that go viral are these 15 second nothing things of just text on a screen.
Right.
I think that's a draw of it, is that it's so unpolished and like, quote unquote, authentic.
Yeah.
But, you know, my brief for making these fragrance reviews were like, make it a narrative, make it entertaining. And I was like, okay, let me clown for you.
Yeah. Well, that's what you do.
Yes. And like in the end, I was like, okay, I hope this gets across like an idea of what the scent is in a way that's not just like, these are the notes. Mm-hmm. Like, if you like Gourmand, you will love this.
Yeah.
Not just like that, which I feel like a lot of that's what fragrance TikTok is.
Yeah.
Because I looked at a lot of examples, because apparently it's like popping off now.
Right.
That's a thing. And it's either just people talking at the camera and they sound like they're on QVC, which is like trying to sell a fragrance.
Right.
Or it's people that just like literally read the press releases. Mm-hmm. Or it's people who are like, if you want to smell like a rich bitch, these are the 5 scents. And then they don't say anything about the scent.
Right.
And they just like show you little clips.
Right. I guess my point was like, so how I got here.
Okay.
And texted you about this was, I got the upcoming, it might be up by now, the Otherland fall winter collection,
Yeah.
And I busted it open. I was going through it and I was like smelling them and thinking about them as I do. And I was like, one, we should be doing this together.
Yeah.
And two, I just think our like first impressions, just like off rip.
Yeah.
In a little 1 minute thing, sort of not edited down. Like, I don't like, we don't have time for that.
Yeah.
But like,
well, that is the draw of TikTok. That's why it belongs on a platform like TikTok, where it's just like, they want you to rant and do these like chaotic videos. That's what works. We could do it.
People
the unpolished
us.
Smelly later.
People like us for some reason.
Yeah. I know. I don't get it either. But
I know, but us with no edit.
Ooh.
People are like, y'all sound so good. I'm like, we spend a lot of time.
Yes, we do.
We edit this down.
Oh my God. I got sent a like a 25-pound box of Bath & Body Works candles this week.
Mm.
A dozen huge 3-wick candles, like the majority of which smell like some sort of baked good.
Yeah. Love.
They did have the Pure Wonder candle, which I like.
You love that.
It smells just like a cloud of hairspray, which I like.
Yeah.
And right now I'm burning birch and sage.
Yeah.
Which they burn quickly.
Yeah.
Like that was a new this afternoon.
Jesus.
And it's like,
well, okay, also
down.
There's a fucking inch of melted wax, girl.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. I should probably extinguish that soon. But they didn't send me any of the like tree piney smelling ones. Like everything just smells like cookies with Santa or like pecan butternut, blah, blah, blah.
I failed to see a problem with that.
It's a nice scent, but they're so strong.
Yeah, they are.
That like I don't even have to light them. I just open it and then it fills the whole room with that scent. So I'm afraid to light them.
The fact that they don't send us a forklift with these boxes that they send, because I've gotten boxes from them and thank you, by the way, with 18 3-wick candles
Holy
in them.
Fuck.
Bitch, those things are heavy.
Yeah.
Those weigh as much as I do.
At least you have a bellhop and an elevator.
I know.
Me with my fifth floor walk up.
Yeah.
Struggling.
I mean,
that's my gym, though. I don't work out otherwise.
Really, truly.
Yeah. I got to do something.
Please.
We should do like a little tick. Or maybe is Reels better? I don't know.
I think it has to be on TikTok. No, I mean, but I guess
we could do TikTok and then just share them onto
Reels. Yeah.
Yeah. Two birds, one stone.
Y'all are going to get this content whether you want it or not.
Yo, we got to work on our content, man.
No, we don't. I don't care.
I guess not.
I also, this is the thing. Like, I don't.
That's true. Yeah. It's like, this is a podcast, not a fucking content.
I think it'd be funny and cute.
Farm.
You know?
It would be cute. Also, we get so many fragrances, and we were talking about this, how we're like, we want to talk about them all, but then it would,
that would just as, be the
whole
as show.
It is doing now, take yeah. up the entire first half of our episodes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I think it'd be a fun way to like engage.
Engage.
Yeah. We'll see.
We'll see how ambitious we're feeling for this.
We'll do one or two and, yeah. and test it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do a little A-B testing, as they say in the biz.
Not A-B testing. God.
I never knew what that meant, so.
Neither do I.
That's why I say it.
There's so much testing and never any results.
I agree.
You know?
They're like, let's test this, and then like, inconclusive.
We've been testing for months.
Yes.
Sable.
Yes.
What do you smell like today?
I smell so good that the nurse at the radiology center was like, you smell so good. Ooh, maybe I shouldn't say radiology center. But
now I just have questions.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
Is everything okay?
Yes. Do your breast exams, ladies. Do those monthly little breast...
Monthly? You have to go monthly?
You're supposed to self-test monthly.
Oh.
Yeah. I was like, you know, I have this health insurance. I haven't used it, so I guess I'll use it. And then I was like, what's this? And they're like, we'll give you a referral to a radiology diagnostic center. And it's like, cool. Love that.
Love that.
I knew it was nothing.
Oh.
Was
there something?
Yeah.
Oh.
I knew. I was like, this is probably not anything scary, but I should go anyway, just to make sure. I don't know. I'm 35 and I'm like, is this the time people get breast cancer? Like, I don't know. Or do they like, is it when you're like 45 or 50? Like, I don't know. Either way, I was like, better safe than sorry. So you go and you do the ultrasound, which is kind of fun to watch, actually. Like, they look like they're at a big Pac-Man arcade game. Like,
oh, funny. But like, you're the joystick?
Yeah, as like, they're literally just like, it looks like a computer mouse that they're just running all over your boob. They're like, oh, okay, I can see this. Like, no. And like, it was nothing. They're just like, yeah, that's nothing. You have nothing to worry about. And I was like, great.
Oh, good.
Cool. Now there's jelly all over my boob.
So,
the nurse was like, oh my gosh, she smells so good. What is that? And I was like, I'm wearing Venus by Ida Lett. And she's like, can I get that at Macy's?
Oh, don't laugh at that. That's a very fair question.
Cute. It was really cute. And I was like, I don't actually know where you can get it, but I think just it's like on their website.
Just bring it back for
Google
her.
It. Yeah.
You're not going to wear it again?
When I come back in 6 months.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So someone who used to do PR for Robert Piguet and who is very generous with their sense started her own fragrance brand called Ida Lett. And it's really cool. It's like, I guess it's like idol as in like kill your idols, but et as in the petite feminine version. So they're kind of a loosely based.
I love how you got there just now, by the way, as in kill your idols.
Yes. Kill them. It's like loosely based on, you know, the women icons, like on their Instagram, they had like Debbie Harry, Cher. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, I'm in.
Yeah.
And totally. Then she sent me like their four perfumes and.
Oh, sorry. Wait.
Yeah.
The collection's called Ida Lett, and it's based on...
Well, brand is called Ida Lett.
That's what I mean, yeah. Sorry.
And there's four fragrances.
This is Venus. Okay, I'm with you.
This is Venus. They're all very romantic, kind of almost like otherworldly, anachronistic vintage vibes, but with a bit of a modern perspective, because when I think of a vintage perfume from the 70s, I'm just like, like it's like way too much.
For
but
sure.
Like this tamped it down to like a wearable degree.
Yeah.
And Venus is like, it's a lot of like, if you love, I guess this makes sense. If you love like Robert Piguet fracas, like you'll love all of these, honestly, because it's like a lot of white florals, a lot of jasmine. Venus I was drawn to because I want to say it's like very jasmine heavy, but it's a very humid, dewy, damp, almost like tropical kind of take. So it like I'm getting a lot of white florals.
Yeah.
And kind of this velvet petaliness, but it's just like very dewy and fresh, not powdery and like that vibe of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it does make me feel very romantic and feminine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like this is one of those fragrances that you wear and, you know, when you're trying to catch a man. I'm going to edit that out.
Don't.
This is like, I hate to say this, but I'm like, this is absolutely like dude bait.
Dude
like,
bait.
This is a dude bait fragrance.
Sounds like a porn site.
God, I know it does.
I think it is.
Is it?
I think so.
Oops.
Boy bait.
Boy bait.
Can we move on?
I don't know. But I guess because it is very, I don't know, something about like white flowers, I think is like such a crowd pleaser.
I think they're like inherently feminine.
Yes. Whenever I wear a heavily white floral fragrance, I feel like everybody around me is like, oh my God, you smell amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those fragrances that is just going to make people compliment you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like those types of fragrances and compliments.
Yes. I love compliments and I love fragrances.
You get a lot of them.
Yes.
Both.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I don't know. I haven't interacted with many people, Shay, but like it's nice when someone compliments your fragrance, you know.
Sable hasn't left the apartment since August.
I haven't. No. And the throw on these is, or the sillage, I'm sorry, it's not a candle. The sillage is like pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like when I sprayed it on my neck this morning, and I did it like you style, where I sprayed it on before I put my shirt on.
Thank you.
Yes.
We're learning.
And even then, I was like, it's radiating.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
I love that.
Yeah.
Same.
But I love, I don't know, it just feels very vintagey in a romantic way. I love it. Yeah.
I love that.
Idolette Venus.
It just reminds me of the Lady Gaga song, Venus. Some slaps.
It does. Also, I think the name Venus too is very cool.
I was gonna say that.
I know.
There's just something cool about it.
Yes, I'm wearing Venus.
Yeah.
Yes. It's very womanly.
Exactly. The divine feminine.
Yes. It is absolutely a divine feminine scent. 100%.
For sure.
Yep. Tynan, what do you smell like today?
So I am so really pleasantly surprised by what I'm wearing. And I don't mean to say pleasantly surprised, it's just okay, so it all started. Do you know the fragrance 1111 by the brand Lake and Sky?
I've heard of it.
Okay. I think we sort of all have. It had a big moment on like being a paid Instagram ad like 3 years ago.
Yes. I feel like I saw it everywhere for a minute.
Yeah. Saw it, but never smelled it.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the name 1111. I think it's so just cool.
Yep.
And
it's lucky.
On the component, it's the numerals. It's not typed out. It's just, I just think that's.
That'd be weird if it was typed out.
Right.
Yeah.
So I saw that and I always liked it, but never smelled it. And then their PR reached out to me maybe a year ago. And I was like, can you just send this to me? I'm just curious. And they sent me like all of it. I gave the candle to T. Kyle, our friend of the pod who hosts Legends Only and very iconic podcast. He is a candle fiend. He loved it. Like loved it. Texted me about it. That got me back into the fine fragrance last week or maybe a week before that. And it's essentially sort of, it's not a skin scent, but like if anyone would call it a skin scent. 1111 is sort of just like an exploration in weight and texture and light. It's very like by Rosie Jane. It's very clean, cottony in the sunlight, whatever. Anyway, that's not what I'm wearing. Lake and Sky, who I know from that scent, reached out to me about their new fragrance called Midnight 07.
Oh, and, wow. This took a swerve.
Yeah. It's like
I was heavily invested in 1111. And now you're like, that's not what I'm wearing.
Like, exactly. I brought you down this road to trap you in the garage.
Plot twist.
So Midnight 07 is sort of like the flip side of the coin to 1111.
Oh.
And they reached out and they're like, do you want it? And I was like, I mean, like, as much as I want anything, I guess. Sure. So what I wanted was to connect them with T. Kyle so he could get the goods. And then I was like, sure, send it. I love the scent.
Oh.
So I liked 1111, but it was like a cottony scent. Sure. Mm-hmm. That's not me, whatever. But it does wear really well if that's your thing. Mm-hmm. This, I smelled it in the atomizer, which I know like doesn't count. And I was like, oh, that smells.
It counts a little.
Good. It smells a little.
Yeah.
It counted enough to let me know that I was like, oh, I think I fuck with this.
Yeah.
And then I sprayed it on and I was like, oh. So it is sort of everything in one. It is inspired by dancing and laughing under the midnight sky. I bet you couldn't have guessed. The notes are in no particular order. Your girl Yuzu.
Ooh.
Vetiver, amber, rose, fig, vanilla, and patchouli.
Wow.
So it's like
it's that, quite a bouquet.
Yeah. And I'm also just like, okay, that's just perfume.
Yeah.
Like, that's just like...
You have described perfume.
Right. That is just a smell. Yeah. You can't do that. This is so good.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it does everything. It pulls every punch. Or pulls no punches? I don't know. But, and it all hits you at once. And the wear is pretty linear in that it smells the same throughout the entire wear. But it is... And it's not a light scent by any means. Not in the way that... you know, the predecessors were. And by the way, 1111 is not their only other scent, but it's the biggest one. This is pretty bold, but it's not heavy. It just has a nice presence on your body. It is so fucking good. It is, I don't know. It's just like, it is everything. I mean, like, it's sweet. It's woody. It's citrusy. It's fruity. It's nectary. It's herbaceous.
Yeah.
But like, it's just, delight to wear. I don't know.
It's called what? Midnight?
07.
07.
Midnight, okay. 07. Yeah.
I thought you were saying Midnight Sun. And I was like, back to Twilight, all over again. I knew Twilight, I was like
slurring that. Yeah. No, not to say I expected anything less than a dope fragrance, but man, it is really just...
I love the name Midnight. I do too. For fragrance.
And the component is black, and the deco is silver, and the cap is silver. Like
it, I like it.
I mean, I don't know. We get a lot of stuff.
Did Larkin Sky do lingerie originally, or am I thinking of a different brand?
It might be something different.
Oh, I'm thinking of the Lake and Stars.
Mm.
Wait, did you say the brand was called Lake or Lark?
Lake.
Lake. Okay, I'm thinking of Larkin Stars. Sorry.
Ah.
Never mind. Clues.
No, they sent me, along with this, they sent me a sampler of four of their scents, which I might be the rest of the collection. But God, this is fucking good.
Wow.
I'm just like, I loved it as much as when I showered it off in the morning to when I put it on the previous morning. It was really, really good. This is not my first time wearing it, which if I go back to something these days, like, I really have to love it. And I do.
Yeah.
It's great.
I mean, you wear repeats, right?
I do. I wear a lot of repeats.
Wear a lot of cloud.
I wear a lot of that. Cloud.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we get a lot of fragrance. We don't get that much fragrance. Yeah. Also, sometimes I just want to wear something I like rather than something I need to write about.
Exactly.
Or I'm doing for work. So I deserve to enjoy myself, even though I am a fragrance pop star. But yeah, man, I can't speak to their distribution in the way that, like, I don't know if they're available in retailers. I would be surprised if you can't track them down. But if you like some big ass scents,
doing a lot,
I would guess that you are gonna like, if not love, Midnight 07 by Lake and Sky. Shout out to them.
I wonder what the seven's about.
I don't know. Oh, are there seven notes?
Oh,
seven ring. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, seven.
Oh, notes. Okay.
Maybe that.
Fragrances with numbers really confuse me.
I know. You got to knock it off.
Please,
guys.
Stop. Yeah.
Please.
We don't need to know how many of anything. We don't need to know math.
No.
You don't need math to smell.
Why do you think we became creatives?
Right.
Not to do math.
Not to do math.
God. Not us being 35 minutes into the episode. Should we get into it?
We should get into it.
Okay. I'm nervous.
I know.
I don't know why. It was my idea.
I know. It's like when something you want actually comes to you and you're like, wait.
I know. I've wanted this for a while, but like, we finally reached out and it just like happened really fast.
I know.
And now I don't know what to do.
Oh my God. I guess we just talked to her like anybody else.
I mean, I guess.
I feel like I am not as much of a Jackie Ines scholar as you are.
Yeah.
So just learning little tidbits of her life, I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, she's had such an interesting life.
Yeah.
I do feel like when somebody is an influencer or a content creator, which for many is synonymous.
Yeah.
You tend to think like, oh, you lucked out by doing YouTube or something. But dude, she's had a super interesting past.
Completely.
I love that. I love when people's jobs took so many detours and the thing they studied is not what they ended up doing. Mm-hmm. And like, just the way they figured out how to get to where they are now by just experimenting. I love that.
Yeah. So our guest today is mega influencer Jackie Ina. She is a YouTuber with over 3.5 million subscribers. She is the founder of the lifestyle brand whose core is candles called Forever Mood, which is the core of our conversation today. She has been on the cover of Essence magazine. She has been a model for Pat McGrath. She was at the Met Gala last year. She has collaborated with brands like Too Faced and Anastasia Beverly Hills. And all of that aside, listen, I don't really fuck with beauty YouTube anymore, but doing what we do, it is always in our
purview.
In our orbit. So I have seen a lot of people's videos, and Jackie is the only person.
She's so funny.
So funny that I'll still go back to, because one, like, you know, when like there's an influencer who just reads press releases or like is really great at makeup, but can't really talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine. Jackie really bridges the gap of being, number one, a real girl, and then knowing how to do makeup, but also speak to it, to speak to formula and application and texture and wear, and do it in a way that is literally laugh out loud funny.
Yes.
Jackie, it's just like...
She should be a late night show host.
Honest to God.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously I'm full blown standing right now. Yeah. And all that aside, like, she is a Black woman. She has done a lot for the Black community, the Black beauty community, like Black women. She's really using her platform to lift others up along with her. I sort of think she's hitting all the notes in the way that, like, I love. And it's
no wonder you're nervous.
No, right. Exactly. Yeah. And I just think it sort of speaks volumes because obviously the beauty YouTube bubble has burst and Jackie is still at the fucking top, dude. So,
what a fucking preamble, dude.
Get into it.
Yeah. Let's get into it.
This is us and Jackie.
I'm Jackie Aina. I'm a content creator. I'm a brand owner. And I'm also a Leo. And I feel like that matters.
I love that. I am a Virgo.
I'm a Cancer, but I have my Leo in Venus, which I very much so identify with.
That is so funny. All my best friends are Cancers.
Oh, we're good to have around.
I know. All the negative things people say about Cancers, I feel like just don't see it.
I feel like the positives outweigh the negatives, at least. So it's like, okay, trust us. You're going to want a Cancer around in a pinch.
No, I'm going to be some Cancers.
I can vouch for that. And Jackie, we start off every episode by asking our guests, what do you smell like today?
Ooh, okay. So, Palo Santo wood, black pepper, a little bit of rose. So, I don't know how to describe the name of this perfume from Tom Ford, but it's called Ebony Fume. I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know if that's French or what, but I just bought it.
We were just talking about this our last episode.
Yeah. It's good, right?
And we also don't know how to pronounce it.
Right.
Right. Like, don't know, don't care, don't matter. It smells really good, but I do feel like Tom Ford has already sort of perfected this same smell scent before. So I like it, but I was like, I feel like I've already kind of smelled this from them. So it was a bit not surprising, but I do really like it. It's very warm. It's very woodsy, kind of masculine. I really like it. I feel like Tom Ford really perfects that. All of that. Yeah.
I thought it was very concise. You know what I mean? It's like, it's incense, it's Palo Santo, it is what it is. I also love that we started off the show by you canceling Tom Ford.
Tom Ford's actually one of my favorite perfumers. So no. I go to him for a particular scent profile.
Yeah.
And this one that I'm wearing today is literally that. So it's on brand for me, but I was kind of left I wanted something a little different. Sure. But it's okay.
Right. Yeah. Right. So you are one of the most successful content creators on YouTube with over 3.5 million followers and now your own brand. But what maybe some people don't know is that you have a very long storied history before YouTube, before all of that. You worked at the Mac counter. You were also in the Army. Do you want to give us just a really quick elevator pitch of who Jackie Aina is and how she got here? Because I love your story.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I feel like I've lived 50 different lives before landing on this one, especially considering, being 34. And I tell people I'm a divorcee. I lived in Hawaii. I served in the reserves. And they're like, you did all that before literally 25. And I'm like, yeah, I kind of did. So I've always been a pretty creative person. And my real dream job was to get into fashion. But culturally, my parents weren't really supportive of that because my dad's Nigerian, and children of immigrants know that going into creative fields aren't often celebrated. So I derailed from that plan when I was in high school, and instead of pursuing fashion like I really wanted to, I went and applied to a traditional university, and I was going to pursue being a pharmacist. So I was trying my hands at being a biochem major, and I was not doing well at all. Because I got to college and I had come from such a strict and regimented childhood and adolescence that when I got to a university, I was like, oh, no one's making me go to class. That was a very jarring culture shock for me. Mm-hmm. And so because I didn't know how to discipline myself, I was always so used to someone else disciplining me. I got to school and I was kind of like, whoa, what is this? What do I do? So after year two, I was like, all right, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life, but I'm not cut out to be a biochem major, obviously. So I dropped out. Actually, I got put on academic probation because I wasn't attending class and my parents had split up that year. So it was a really turbulent time for me. And while I was figuring out, okay, if I lose, you know, if I'm on academic probation, if I lose tuition, I can't even go here anyway. So I might as well just see myself out. So I ended up dropping out. And then the guy that I was dating at the time, who ended up later on being my husband, not anymore now, but he was in the army and he kind of was like, oh, why don't you just join the army? But I don't think he said it seriously, because when he said it, I was just like, why the hell would I join the army? Are you dumb? And then I thought about it. And I was like, well, I guess I don't really have anything else going. So it was more or less just kind of like, I don't really have anything else to do. And like, I kind of need money to survive.
Right.
And I'm not going to be able to stay in school. And my parents also are not providing for me. So yeah, I joined the army. And it was really kind of out of optimism, but also a bit of like scarcity in a way, right? Like, you know, when you're young, you don't come from privilege. Like, you're just on survival mode. And I figured it out. That was literally the first time in my life I ever had to like just figure it out, make it work. So I'm 21 by this point, and I'm in the reserves because I was like, okay, you know, Army's a lot to commit to. Maybe we just get our feet wet. So you know, I became a reserves. So you can do 2 weekends a month. While I'm doing 2 weekends a month, I discovered YouTube. So when I first joined, this is like 2006 or whatever. And then I start seeing all this makeup thing blowing up around 2008, 2009. So, you know, my best friend used to always tell me, like, you know, you're already a glam girl. You're already into makeup. Why don't you just upload and start doing tutorials too? And honestly, I had like no interest in starting a YouTube channel. I loved watching videos. I loved, like, you know, taking tips and stuff. But then I started realizing what I was doing at that time was taking looks that white women were doing and like Asian women were doing, because these are the girls who like really dominated the beauty industry at that time. I was taking those looks and I was making them dark skin friendly. And so this is what I was doing like offline. And so my best friend was like, why don't you show other people how you do that stuff? And so while this is happening, you also have to remember like 2009, the landscape for beauty was completely different.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Right. Like
pre-Instagram.
Pre-Instagram, pre-everything, call out culture, everything. Like none of that existed back then. Darker skinned people were othered in the beauty world. And I felt it not only online, but I felt it in retail shopping experiences, right? Like going up to a counter and you could see, like, every single time I'd go shopping for makeup, it was the most strange experience, because I would feel the awkwardness when I'd walk up to a counter. What they would start doing is they would start scrambling to find all the dark shades that they carry and putting them on the shelves.
God.
And I'd be like, why are y'all making this so weird? But they would literally do it like right in front of me. So I just honestly got really, really tired and frustrated with feeling like that. And I started showing people, you know, and also I got tired of like asking for help and leaving the counter looking orange.
Yeah.
And I just started learning how to do these techniques and these looks myself. And so eventually I did end up uploading my first video, which was terrible. It was literally so embarrassing. It was a picture slideshow. And, you know, with time, I started to get more comfortable actually speaking on camera, because I'm about a whole different process. This whole speaking thing was so weird back then. But, you know, it took time. I wanted to live to it a little bit. And yeah, so while all this is happening, while I was getting my feet wet with YouTube, was around the time I started applying to work at MAC. And because, you know, I was in the reserves, but as many people may or may not know, when you're a reservist, you still have to have like a full-time job. Like, you're not the military's property 24/7. You're like part-time.
Right.
So I still had to have a job. I still could go to school. So I started really, really taking an interest in working for MAC, because this was like the height of MAC at that time as well, 2009-ish. And so I just kind of put myself out there and went for it. And I ended up getting hired. And so there were so many different things happening at the same time. Me being married, me living in Hawaii, me starting my YouTube channel that same year, me getting that job at MAC that same year. I was experiencing so many transformative things, both personally and also professionally. And I was also doing a lot of seed, like planting of seeds those years that I didn't know in the long run I'd, you know, really be blossoming from. Well, yeah, I definitely feel like 2009, 2010 were the most like transformative years for me. And this has been what it's been ever since. I've been a full-time content creator since, I would say, 2016. Mm-hmm. So oh, wow. 5-6 years then. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what a lot of people don't realize. Like, I think it's a lot, I don't want to say easier, but in a way it is kind of easier to like blow up now as content creators. Back then, you want to talk about bootstrapping, like you were really bootstrapping back then. Like you were not making money, you were consistent. And even like 6-7 years ago, you could have a big following but not necessarily be making a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And now has never been an easier time to make a lot of money on social media, which is great. But like back then, I always tell people, because they ask me, you know, how did you get to where you are now? And I'm like, girl, I didn't get paid anything for 6 years. Are you willing to do that? A lot of times the answer is no. And that's understandable. But, you know, it was just right place, right time. I just stuck with it. And then 1 year, I was like, okay, half a decade in, what are we going to do? You know, like, are we going to go get a job now or are we going to keep this up? And so 2015 was the year I was like, okay, I don't know what is in God's plan for me, but I'm just going to pursue this and see what happens. Mm-hmm. And within that same year, I got my first viral video, and literally, like, I haven't turned back ever since.
What? What was the video?
That's it. So I used to do these like parody videos where I would like make fun of all the beauty trends that were just out of control. Because the beauty landscape at its peak, 2015, 2014, was out of control. I'm talking people were taking shoes and using it to apply their foundation.
Oh God, people I remember this. Wearing, yeah,
you know what I'm talking about. It was
contouring of crazy things.
Yes.
Yes, this was like clickbait peak, right? And so I would make these videos basically just like, look, why are we not addressing how awkward and uncomfortable this is for the rest of us? Like, am I the only person who thinks this stuff is abnormal? So that was really like the first. Now, those videos were fun, but I felt like they kind of eventually ran their course. But I would do these yearly, like, okay, into the new year, I'd always do them at the end of the year. And they were these satirical parody videos. And it was like the first time I really let my personality shine in my content, which I think is also a big reason why I didn't grow as much as I really could have the first 5-6 years, because I was trying to be so hyper aware of like who was watching me and like being taken serious as a young, you know, Nigerian girl online, you know, also being like the person who's like sort of the black sheep of the family because you're not like, you don't have a real job. Mm-hmm. And then after a while, I was just like, you know, screw this, just be myself, just be funny. Like, who cares? No one cares. And then literally the moment I did that, I was like, oh my God, I'm never going back.
Yeah.
Well, that's it.
Jackie, you are so funny. Like on YouTube, you are laughing. It's you. It's the way you cut in memes. And just like, you know the internet so well. And your videos are just laugh out loud funny. They are such a joy to watch. I look forward to each and every one of them. And I don't even really fuck with beauty YouTube like that anymore. But you, I always go back to. I'm obsessed with it. So,
you know what? First of all, thank you. You know what? I heard a good quote that said something along the lines of, the funniest people have always had the shittiest lives. And I always tell people that should tell you everything you need to know about the funnier the person is, the shittier their life probably
is. That is
because
true.
After a while, it's low key kind of true. Because after a while, you're just like, you just gonna laugh. You just gonna laugh now because there's nothing else I can do. So,
oh, yeah. I always thought that humor is always a good sign of intelligence. The funniest people are often the smartest.
Mm. I mean, know a couple things. I try. I mean, you know, like sometimes you just have to like laugh at yourself, laugh at life, you know.
Right.
That's a good quote too, though. I like that.
Yeah. Laugh to keep from crying.
Literally. Oh my God. You have no idea.
Yeah.
So after so many years on YouTube and after blowing up and sustaining that level of success, I think a lot of people expect, especially beauty YouTubers, influencers, to go into their own beauty brand. And we've seen many do that thus far with varying levels of success. And I think that people were pleasantly surprised when Forever Mood came about, which is not only a scent brand, it's a lifestyle brand, but the core is candles. How did you decide that that was the path rather than maybe a more expected beauty brand?
Well, the candles were definitely a long time coming. because, you know, I'm a beauty influencer, but it doesn't necessarily mean makeup is the only thing I love. And I knew that eventually at some point I wanted to have my own candle brand because I felt like things were either like everything that's already on the market was either too expensive or not like pretty enough. Like I always kind of felt like things were either like super kitschy and not stuff that I would probably showcase in my home, or they'd be $200. You know what I mean? It's like, girl, we don't always want to spend $200 on something that I'm probably going to finish in a day.
Right. Literally burn.
Literally. So I just felt like, okay, I knew that eventually that was a professional box I wanted to check off because I felt like that was a white space. And so for me, in order for me to get into something and attach my name to something, I have to feel like there's a void. And so I do have a lot of aspiration of staying in beauty, but when we actually started working on the candles first. And so then when everything shut down, it honestly was easier for me to focus on that than it was everything else, because it was like, who knows, this may change the course of how we see beauty moving forward. Mm. And I don't want to necessarily put all of my eggs in one basket, right?
Right.
So when we started the brand, we actually first started having conversations and meetings in like 2018 for forever, and which didn't have a name back then. But then we shelved it because another project that came up. So I was like, okay, I can only focus on one thing at a time. And then everything shut down. And I was like, you know, me and my fiance were like, okay, like, so what are we going to do? And I was like, it was actually him that was like, we should revisit starting the candle brand because we already had some benchmarks and we found a name and we had already had the manufacturer. We just needed to kind of perfect the throw and like a couple other things. And it just felt like the right time because, you know, people weren't really focusing on makeup in 2020 when everything was shut down.
Right.
And also a bit of my why kind of shifted when I started Forever. Initially, I just wanted to get into the candle business because I like candles and because I felt like everything was either too low end or too high end. There was nothing in between and there was nothing pretty enough that I could put, you know, in an Instagram story post. But then I started realizing as the climate of even like socially, politically, like I feel like Black women are always pushed to the forefront of like saving the world or saving people or being the hero or being the captain. And honestly, that just got old real fast. And I was like, you know what? Even in the midst of civil unrest, people are always leaning on Black women specifically to save them. That's not right. And that comes to our detriment a lot of times. And so I started leaning into more of that as it pertains to the brand, because it's like when people see this brand, I want them to see entrepreneurial Black women who are in school, Black women who may be still finding themselves that are still being taken care of, that are still being pushed to the forefront of wellness. I didn't see a lot of that, you know, and I haven't really seen a lot of that since my adolescence. And so that really propelled me into not only incorporating that visually into the brand more often, but also like starting the brand, because I was like, okay, I know this is a lot to take on, but I think, you know, me and my fiance collectively decided, because he's our co-founder, we can do this and we can do this now. And right now is the most important time. Like people want escapism. People want a break. People want things that are going to help them unwind and relax. We're all at home. We're bored. Like, how can we switch it up? How can we work with what we already have? So it just felt like the right place, the right time. And it really was something that was a long time coming anyway.
Wow. 2020, I feel like, changed the scope of everything for everyone.
I know. I'll bet a lot of brands probably approached you to start a makeup brand before.
Yeah, it's happened. Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah, there's definitely, I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with like the incubator space. So basically, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a very popular business model. And I do think it's quite successful, depending on how you know, I guess, define success. Like if you know you don't have the capabilities to do all the heavy lifting of starting a brand, because I'll be honest, that's what I think a lot of people underestimate, is like when you start a brand, it's a lot of heavy lifting. It's a lot of money. Yeah. It's a lot of marketing. It's a lot. Like there's so many moving pieces. And unfortunately right now, social media makes entrepreneurship look easier than it ever has been, and it's not. And so there's not a day that goes by where I'll, you know, I was even talking about this on Twitter, but like, I'll be like, oh my God, I'm like obsessed with sweatpants right now. And people will be like, why don't you start your own? I'm like, do y'all think I have the money to start a new brand every month? I don't. I cannot tweet about anything that I like without somebody telling me to start my own brand. I'm like, I know this stuff looks easy, but it's not. It's not that easy. And I'm flattered. I really am. But I like to focus on one thing at a time. And I like to have a real, like, I have to start something that sets me apart from other people, right?
Yeah.
So that's something I'm constantly focusing on. But right now, you know, social media creates this illusion of like, start something, start something. I put a lot of thought and intention behind every single thing that I start, a lot, because I want it to be successful. I don't want it to just be there just for the sake of it. So to me, when those intent, when not the intentions shifted, but like when conversations about makeup started shifting, I started being like, huh, okay, maybe we pause a little bit and then we revisit, if that makes sense.
Right. Totally. Yeah. When it comes to content creators and influencers and like, people who have big followings, there's always this expectation that like, oh, eventually they'll launch a brand. And then once you do, there's so much pressure for everything to be perfect. I'm thinking of, what's her face with the lipsticks?
Kylie?
No, no, no.
Jacqueline Hill?
Yes, yes. There was a hair on a lipstick and then the lipstick crumbled.
Yeah, you know what? I just honestly, to your point, I just feel like you have to start a brand for the right reason. I think your audience encouraging you to do it is very endearing and it's very encouraging and it's very sweet. I mean, that's what you would want if you're going in that direction anyway. But I don't think that other people telling you to do it is enough. Not even close.
Yeah.
It's just not good enough because, you know, you have to have a standalone brand message, visual product outside of like the people who know you and like you. You know, I always think about products that people are going to buy and products that are going to draw people in, even if they don't know who the hell I am. Like, I'm always constantly thinking about that. Especially now that we're in Sephora, I wanted to create a brand that stands on its own so that Jackie Ina is not the only selling point. Like, yeah, that might get my foot in the door.
Right.
But how am I going to keep my customers? They need to be coming back for something quality.
Absolutely.
Right.
I mean, you've loved scent for a long time. And did you ever consider maybe I'll do a fragrance, maybe I'll do something else in a scent space? And then what made you do candles above all?
Yeah, good question. We want the Jackie Ina Forever Mousse fine fragrance for the record.
hint, hint, you know, maybe I will consider it in future. You know what? Candles, I think, was more achievable. For the time being, it was more achievable and also was more practical considering the year that we launched.
Right.
And I know that fine fragrance takes a long time. And I also know that, again, I would want to create something that doesn't already exist. So in order for me to do that with fine fragrance, I just felt like, I think it'd be hard for me to start with that, you know?
Yeah.
But also, I do have to say that candles wasn't a great way to get my name and establish some rapport in the fragrance world, because a lot of times when you have followers, when you're an influencer, or when you're a celebrity and you jump straight into fine fragrance, it comes off a little cash grabby because, you know, the fragrance train has been rolled, honey, since the 90s. And like, people are on my feelings saying, oh, great, another fragrance. You know, like, I feel like makeup has become the new fragrance.
Yes, absolutely.
Business venture. So, yeah, I think for me, it was a bit smarter to position and focus on candles first, because I feel like I want to, you know, it's allowed me to be taken more seriously.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. When you are developing your collections from the first drop to the seasonals, because you drop a lot of candles and they all do really well, and they all have their own sort of scent and visuals and perspective. What did your creative process look like?
So the first thing that we consider is like, what season is this launching? Because that matters. That's like number one. You know, a lot of candle lovers, we think in terms of season. So in June, I'm probably not going to be burning pine. I'm just not, you know, like not me. Other people might, but for the most part, like how I, what I smell, I kind of want to reflect what is going on with the season, the vibe, the weather, so on and so forth. So we always factor that in first. Then I try to creatively think, how do I want this collection to make people feel? So last year we did a Valentine's Day collection, but instead of it being like a collection for like lovers, I really wanted to celebrate friendship. And so, and even from the campaign visuals, my friends, my fellow influencer friends were in the campaign. And what started as a Valentine's Day is normally for couples. I wanted to celebrate the beauty in friendship and sisterhood and, you know, gifting people that you love so that you don't necessarily have to like be in a relationship to enjoy these candles. So we focused on notes that were a little bit more flirty, that were a little bit more fun and playful, as opposed to like sensual and sexy and like bedroom scents. Because again, I wanted something that more people can use. And also I wanted to shift away from like the typical narratives of Valentine's Day. But that was just one example of like how we created that collection. Like I said, it starts with like what time of year we're launching. And then I then shift to how do I want the scents to make people feel. So our sweater weather collection was what we launched this year for fall. I wanted a cozier collection that was somewhat reminiscent of like Thanksgiving dinners and like family gatherings and anything that was just related to like being in the kitchen, warmth, being around people and comfort, like a really comforting, endearing, family-friendly collection. So yeah, I mean, there's so many different things that we factored, but the two are always like, when am I burning it and how do I want people to feel?
And having worked with some of the biggest brands in the beauty industry, like when you helped Too Faced expand their shade range of their foundation or the Jackie Aina palette from Anastasia Beverly Hills, and now doing your own product, how does that process sort of differ from, I know candles and makeup are two different things, but how does the process differ with like timelines and opinions and approvals? Like, do you find what you do at this stage in the game a little bit more seamless since, I mean, you're also the boss?
Yeah, I mean, it's night and day. The difference between product brand collaborations and being a brand founder is so different that honestly, I have so much respect for the brands that have already done the heavy lifting to get to where they are now, you know, Too Faced, the Anastasias, because you know, when you're collaborating with a brand, you're doing more like finger pointing. You're like, I like that, I like that. And then you're doing the testing, right? But when you're the brand owner, you're responsible for every single moving piece. And if anything flops, it's your fault. So those are things that you have to be hyper aware of and mindful of, you know, especially if visually you're somewhat of the face of your brand. So I would say the main differences are like who's responsible for what, and also how much work and time you put in for each and every single collection and each and every deadline and every drop. So yeah, them brand collabs started sounding real good again after me.
Because they're like, I was going to say, I'm like, do you miss those days?
I mean, yes and no, because in the long run, like, let's be honest, starting a brand, you're going to, you know, hopefully if you set everything up correctly, you will be much more financially, you'll benefit more. But brand collabs for what they are, I mean, they provide a tremendous amount of experience. I think it's great to just see like from the ground up how things are created. You do get like some hands-on stuff that like I'm grateful for to this day. And they're fun. Like they're genuinely fun, like coming together, working with other creatives in the industry, especially people that you admire. Like I was really, really, really flattered, wildly flattered when Anastasia had reached out to work with me. And of course, Too Faced as well, because these are brands that are like huge, like the success is huge. So you basically get in the kitchen with them and you can learn things and they take you under their wing. And I've had incredible experiences. Even to this day, like Jared Brandino has been such a like amazing, somewhat of a mentor to me professionally, because anytime I need something, and you know, the beauty industry, it's about who you know, honey. So if you don't know nobody worth knowing, good luck. But yeah, I mean, sometimes it's just a matter of phone call. Like, Jared, do you know somebody at such and such? And he'll be like, yeah, I'll connect you. And I'm just like, you don't even have to do this. Like, why are you helping me? But it's awesome because, you know, that collab, those opportunities have afforded me access to stuff like that. So, you know, and also this is another great way to segue into advice for up and comers. Like if you are taking on a partnership or an opportunity that may not necessarily benefit you financially, and I'm by no means saying that all the clubs I've done have not been financially lucrative, they absolutely have. So it's the first thing. But if you, let's say you're working with a brand, they don't have the hugest budget, but it's like on, it's the standard or maybe slightly better, right? And you're like, I feel like I can make more money. If you know that you might be gaining in other areas, then take it. Because in the long run, not every opportunity is about monetary gain. Although obviously it helps and it's important. There are other ways that you can benefit from things professionally and get your foot in the door in other ways and gain access to other things. And sometimes, you know, the dollar amount doesn't, like, don't let that be a hindrance is what I'm trying to say.
That's a really good point.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Because I feel like people look at brand collaborations like a big fat check. And of course, I'm sure that they are, but they're also, you know, long game, a lot bigger than that.
Mm-hmm. They are. And I had a recent opportunity come my way for another brand collab. And I'm actually not really doing brand collabs anymore because I feel personally for me, and this, I'm not speaking about other influencers. I feel like for me professionally, they've kind of ran their course. I've done all that I've wanted to do for the most part, but I had a recent opportunity come by and it was quite a bit of work and the rate was, it was decent. It was not the most lucrative, but I knew for a fact that committing to it would have been a bit of a stretch. So I had to walk away and, you know, it is somewhat of a privilege to be able to do that. You don't always get to choose when you can walk away from an opportunity or take an opportunity. And I've worked really hard to be able to say no when I want to say no. Yeah. Wasn't always like that. But, you know, that I think will separate you from people who are just here for money and people who are like, yeah, I'll just take everything and not every day grind. And it's not that deep. Like, opportunities will come. If you got it the first time, you'll get it again. Trust me. But I think part of my job as a professional and as an influencer is knowing when something's right for me and when something's not, or when I can commit to something and when I can't, or when, okay, this one is a good one. I may not be getting paid the most, but this one's a good one. So those are all things you have to consider.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Can you talk a bit about how you develop the scents? Do you have a go-to perfumer or do you work with a team?
I do. I have an in-house perfumer that works directly with perfume houses as well. And we do a lot of sampling. Sometimes we do mixing. Sometimes we'll bring old favorites and we'll add things to them, like maybe gardenia or maybe vanillas. I mean, there's so many different things. And then also sometimes I'll start with something and I'll be like, I like this product, but I don't like, is like maybe less peppery or maybe less floral. You know what I mean? This is quite a popular process. A lot of brands will do this, like reverse engineering, but it's not because you want to replicate something exactly as is. It's you might want to use something as like a benchmark and like either perfect it or change it, you know, in its entirety. Because sometimes I also find, and this comes up in collabs too, what smells like rose to me may be slightly different to someone else. So sometimes it helps to like literally show an example.
Yeah.
Okay. I like this, but this is a little too sweet. Can we bring it down a little bit? So yeah, benchmarks are also great, but yeah, working with a perfumer is a must.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Something we mentioned earlier about the difference between like just anybody starting a brand versus an influencer starting a brand, and you have a fan base that's loyal and their expectations are so high. Did you feel like there was a lot of pressure when you decided to launch Forever Mood?
Not really, surprisingly. No, I don't. I think that was a time where people were just kind of like ready for me to launch something. And so even though it wasn't makeup, because a lot of people were like expecting it to be makeup and they were kind of like, oh, when they found out it wasn't. But then they were like, oh, but this actually makes sense because Jackie loves candles, so duh. So it was like a secondary, like delayed response. But no, surprisingly, I didn't really get a lot of pressure. I got a ton of support. And I think people were also happy that, yeah, and you know, it's rare. Like my audience was very rare, but I feel like that's what has set me apart professionally is people just are kind of like, you know, we're here to support you regardless, which is so awesome. And I think also, again, right place, right time, like people weren't having the same conversations about beauty that we were 2-3 years ago. So people were ready to embrace something new. So I just ended up really getting lucky.
Sure.
That's great.
It was amazing.
A great time to launch candles.
Right. Hey, going.
Literally perfect timing.
Trapped in your house.
How do you think that your career as not only a beauty influencer and YouTuber, but everything you mentioned prior, the army, even the Matte Counter, all of this seems a little disconnected from launching a fragrance brand, but how do you think your long career of just hustling got you ready to do so, to be a brand owner?
Well, I had to do a lot of stuff that I did not want to do to get here. Like,
haven't we all?
Wait, period. And they're all ethical and they're all legal, obviously. But like, you just make it work. Like, you just figure it out. I had to do a lot of exploring and figuring it out and a lot of closed doors and a lot of, you know, putting myself out there and risk taking. And I think essentially, like, I'm just like kind of a risk taker at heart. And I've come to realize that about myself over the years. But I think as a brand owner and also as an entrepreneur, I think that's a great trait to have, because I often take the road less traveled. And I oftentimes have a pretty optimistic outlook on trying new things. Like, okay, if you fail, then okay. Like, especially when you're broke, and then you're like, I'm going to try something new. If I fail, I'll still be broke. Great. Like, it's fine. Like, I'll figure it out. I'll still be broke. I lose nothing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just feel like I've been really, like, boldly able to put myself out there in ways that, like, a lot of people are afraid to. And of course, like, they should be afraid to take risks. Like, this country doesn't really exactly put a lot of people in the best positions to take risks. So that's understandable. But I don't know. I think a lot of the stuff that I've done has just been kind of circumstantial. Like, one was like the byproduct of the other. Like, I joined the army because I was like, I'm not going to school anymore. I didn't eagerly and happily join the army.
Sure.
You know, I dealt with what I had at the time and I thought I was making the best decision for myself and also, you know, professionally. So you do what you gotta do. You just figure stuff out, you know? And I feel like a lot of people can resonate with that.
Totally.
Totally.
Was there a moment in your career where you were able to like tell your family, you're like, look, me taking the artistic route did turn out well?
I mean, I just kind of let the money do the talking. Period. I mean, look, there's so much that you don't really have to say, you know? Like, Lisa, you see me interviewing President Biden, okay? You already know.
Right. You want to talk a little bit about that? That was crazy.
Yeah, that was insane. They actually reached out to us right after the election, but I guess because of the chaos of, you know, the voting and the mess that the election was, they put it on hold. And then they came back to me and asked me to partake in the opportunity again. And it was supposed to be like a round table group chat type of setting. But then by the time they came back, they said, no, we actually want to just do it individually. And it definitely was very, I mean, it just taught me like, this is insane where makeup can take you. Like, that was just the end takeaway for me. It's like, this is literally, like, I literally put on makeup and I'm interviewing the president. Like, this is crazy. And I'm also glad that we did the, like, made it a focus on promoting education on the vaccine. It's something that I feel very strongly about, and I'm not even going to get into it today. But, you know, that was very important to me to share that with my audience, because we have enough education and resources to make that decision confidently now, I believe. So, you know, it felt like, yeah, I have absolutely no problem encouraging my followers to at least look into getting the vaccine. So yeah, that was they allowed me to ask two questions, I think it was, and they were all related to the vaccine. So I was like, this feels right for me. So I took the opportunity.
Sure. That's so exciting. That was crazy.
That's nuts.
Just crazy.
Yeah.
You spoke a little bit earlier about your why of starting Forever Mood and how it sort of pivoted and how it's became a bit more about, you know, your audience seeing a Black woman being an entrepreneur and on her come up and putting others on. And can you talk a little bit about maybe the women or the people that you looked up to doing this and also growing up, either, you know, mentors or role models or people that you modeled yourself after?
Ooh, yes. So there's a couple women that, and they all know who they are, that have been really integral and just, even just from far away, that I really admired for putting themselves out there personally, professionally. First and foremost, Pat McGrath. I am constantly in awe at her ability to evolve and to be eagerly enthusiastic about dominating the industry that she's in. I mean, this is a woman who can be arrogant and who can be closed off, and every day chooses not to be. She's just been so sweet to work with. And like, I, even if I never had worked with her, I still admire her just the same. And I do definitely look up to her a lot, both personally and professionally. I just love the way that she carries herself professionally. And she's just such a really creative, I think Pat's a creative genius. Like, I'm sure I'm not alone.
Oh, yeah, in that, but absolutely.
She's like an innovator, a forward thinker. And I think what's also unique about Pat is like, she's one of the few people that embraces the new generation of beauty. A lot of established makeup artists who aren't influencers have a really hard time embracing influencer marketing and, you know, social media in general. And Pat's the exact opposite. So I really admire that about her. I also really look up to, and this is why working with her was so crazy, Naomi. I mean, Queen Naomi Campbell, period. Like, I just feel like that woman is somebody who's always going to be remembered for her legacy. She's just been so sweet and so helpful and so supportive. And I admire her being a trailblazer, someone who a lot of times faced microaggressions in the industry, racial discrimination. She just keeps going. She's never let the industry determine who she is. She always comes out on top. And working with her was probably like definitely the top five career highlights for me. I mean, and these are just the people that like you would know. I mean, I've had personal influences in my life that are not in the industry, that are not well known, that are, I can remember the exact moment, the exact time this person personally impacted me in such a positive way. There's so many experiences that I have that are like that. So those are just like the couple that you guys know of.
Crazy. Yeah, what a roster.
I know. I got some angels for sure.
Seriously.
Some guardian angels.
Can we talk a bit about the design of your candles for Forever Mood and also the name?
The names.
The names are iconic.
Iconic.
Hey, B.
Oh, the names are the best part.
Thought them. I would blind buy that. Like, anyone would blind buy that.
When I saw you put out Hey Big Head, I laughed for 3 weeks straight. It is so good.
I'm dead.
No, the name. That.
Now, the names are literally like the best part. And this is back to the question you had asked me about the creative process. So you can't name the candle until you know what it smells like. Yeah. And also, you got to factor in, when is this candle made? Like, what season is this launching in, right? So, yeah, the naming is definitely the best part, because we want the name to like remind you of why you called it that. Like Matcha Business, for example, is great because it looks like the color of matcha.
Yeah.
So everything always ties into a story or a visual or a feeling and an emotion. And yeah, I feel like that's the best thing that we land for these names.
So funny. Do you just have like a notebook full of potential names?
I sure do. So some of them are like on the spot, because we always do this in team meetings. Some of them are like on the spot after we discover it. But like, okay, like Bottom, for example, we came up with Bottom after we launched Sin Mood last year. So it was too late to incorporate Bottom in last year's collection. So I just kept it on my list for this year. And so when we launched Sweater Weather, the first thing you pulled was, okay, Bottom, perfect. And the candle Bottom is like the quintessential fall pumpkin spicy cinnamon scent that you would expect to smell right when September hits. So it was like the perfect name.
That must be the most fun part of like having any brand.
Oh, always. The names, like, we just crack up laughing at these naming sessions because it's so funny. And some of the names are ridiculous. Some of the names are just flat out crazy. But I always tell people the best part about namings is like, even if it sounds dumb, I always tell people just say it because it might trigger or remind you or, you know, inspire another name or another, you know, idea. So I always tell people, no matter how dumb it sounds, just say it because then it'll help. It'll actually literally help.
Yeah.
Well, and the names like reflect you as well, you know, because if you call them anything else, this could just be any, without smelling them, any other can collection, but you walk up to them and you're like, wait, what? They're like a punchline on a candle. They're so funny.
I know. That's the best part.
Oh, we love a good con, honey. Yeah. Yes, we love a con.
Is there one that you would say is your signature scent?
So Jackie in a Candle is Mighty Nice. That was our holiday collection last year. Oh, it's so good. It's so luxe. And it's a little masculine too. Like, guys love Mighty Nice. So it's really good. It's very vanilla-y, woodsy. It has just the right amount of sweetness and it's creamy too. It's so good. And definitely, I have to say, Sodom is probably also me because the spice, I like a lot of spicy scents and I also like spicy food. So it's very me.
Wow. Jackie, this has been such a pleasure and such an honor to have you on our show.
Thank you so much
for joining us. This is so great.
Thank you. It was an honor. Thank you so much.
How cool was that?
How cool was that?
I, you know, sometimes it's like they tell you not to meet, you know, not your idols or whatever, but you can't ever build anything up.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, it's too dangerous.
She was so sweet and so, I don't know.
So cool.
I'm always just like, wow, people want to be on our little podcast.
Right. I mean, I'm so humbled.
I know. He's like, I'm so humbled.
For once. No, that's fantastic.
God, naming products must be the funnest thing ever.
And you can tell that she is having so much fun with it.
Yeah. Hey, Big Head.
Hey, Big Head is so funny. Please. You up?
Yeah.
Thought him. It's just so good.
I love that.
Like you said, like one of us said, you can see her like reflected in it.
Yeah.
I don't know. So cool.
That's funny. It sounded like she kind of hinted at a fragrance coming soon.
Did you catch that?
I did.
Because I caught that.
Which, like, of course. I'm like, yes, please. Let the pipeline continue.
Would I introduce her? Did I talk about Forever Mood? Yeah. I think I touched on.
Yes. I think we touched on.
Fuck. Well,
we did.
If you got here, you know what the hell we're talking about.
Yeah. If you're already here, we've already talked about it.
Yeah.
You're late.
At length.
Why would you start listening to the usher?
They read the ending first.
Yeah. Riff first.
See how manic we are. I just caught my reflection when I got up just now. The way that this mascara is stamping on me, someone is going to jail.
What mascara?
Right here.
Well, no, what mascara is it?
It's the Huda one, which is good. I just shellacked it.
The double ended?
Yeah, it's like, it's great.
That one is a little.
Yesterday didn't stamp on me. Today, well, I also like rubber glued it on.
That one's kind of intense for me. I like the lengthening side, but the volumizing side is like, whoa.
That's where it got me. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. I don't know. How cool.
That's great.
It was so cool to hear, number one, like you said, her story,
mm-hmm.
which has so many chapters. Yeah. And
how we got a lot of behind the scenes influencer.
A lot of behind the scenes. Yeah. Yeah. I loved when she was talking about like knowing when to walk away and knowing when the bag is good.
I get that for sure. I love saying no to things.
Right. Well, yeah. Like when the bag is good, but the longevity is better.
Right,
but also when the bag is good, but the scope is unrealistic because those are two different things.
I feel like you and I and our other peers, we definitely took assignments or jobs that were like, we're not paying you much, but it's like a big public, like a good byline.
God, completely.
Yeah.
Completely.
That was my one imposter syndrome-y thing that I had to get over where I'm just like, if you're not getting paid what the appropriate amount, like it better be an impressive ass byline. Otherwise, I'm not doing it.
Yeah. I think that my imposter syndrome, just like I never thought I was fucking good at anything. And so anytime someone, and I'm lucky to have always written for very big publications, but I was like, the fact that they fucking want me, I'll take anything. And I've also been lucky to get paid pretty well the whole time. But you and I both know there are some times that we, you know, took some small checks for some big assignments. But, but yeah, then again, I guess sort of what she was saying, and it's not the same thing, but I was like, I think if I stick with this, I can
turn this into something.
Yeah.
And thank God I was right. Mm-hmm. But, and it's still happening. Like, I have by no means like figured it out or gotten to
where
gotten there. But yeah. Like, I think there is something to be said by weighing one against the other.
Yeah.
You know? And I think I was also at a place in my career where like, I was just doing it for fun. So it's mm-hmm. like, I wasn't looking at that check to pay for anything other than like a bar
tab. It was like the experience.
Exactly. Exactly.
Being involved.
This was always like the dream, but I didn't know it was going to happen, nor did I think it could. But I was like, well, they want me. So I want to do it.
It is also like flattering to be asked pitch someone or to like take an assignment, especially when you're like, wow, they want me.
They came to me.
I'm such a fucking sucker for flattery. So.
Well, it's not flattery, Sybil. Like, you're fucking good at what you do. You know, they come to you for a reason.
I'm still a sucker for flattery.
There's so much fucking noise, you know? And people don't come to us for like roundups and shit anymore. Not that we don't do them, but it's like they come to us for the good stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh.
Which, yeah, I am glad for that. That generally when I get assigned things, it's like thoughtfully given to me.
Yeah.
Or they picked me for a reason, which I'm glad for.
There are things that I've taken within recent history that it was like, one, I was very happy and grateful to be approached, but I was like, I don't want to do this, but I don't want anyone else to do this either. You know, I don't want to see anyone's fucking name on this but mine. Yeah. No one can do this but me. Give that to me. Give me here. Yeah, yeah. So that's sort of...
You came to the right place.
Right.
I'm glad you showed this to me first.
Exactly. Damn.
Dang.
She was just so like, ready for it too, to be a cool girl on a podcast.
I don't think we're her first podcast. Definitely not.
Absolutely not. No. But no, I mean like ready to just like kick it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love how she was also doing her makeup. Like,
oh my God. I love that.
Yeah.
Oh my
She's
God.
She's like, I'm just going to do my makeup while we chat. Like,
please. Like, I wanted to be like, what are you doing? What are you putting on? Where are you going? Goddamn. Thank you, Jackie.
Thanks, Jackie.
And thank you, listeners, for listening.
Yes. Yet again.
Yet again.
Another episode of your favorite podcast.
We have more cool things coming up.
God, wait. Is it Thanksgiving this week?
Girl,
it's going to be. It is going to be.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh my God, right.
Oh, wow.
Fuck.
Well.
Well.
Okay.
Happy Thanksgiving,
Sybil. Happy Thanksgiving,
guys. I'm grateful for you.
Yeah.
And like, we're grateful for you. Oh, yeah.
With the history of our country. Okay, anyway.
That's true. But
It's a gluttonous holiday, and I love eating, so.
And there's Charlie Brown Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
Or is there?
I don't know.
I might be thinking of the Great Pumpkin.
Oh, you might. I don't know. I'm not familiar with the Charlie Brown canon as well. I am. So,
well,
yeah.
Never mind. Follow us on Instagram.
Smell you later to an MP3. I'm at Sabletooth Tigra.
I'm at Tynan Buck.
Have a lovely Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Were we going to do like a Black Friday Cyber Monday fragrance recommendation? Like maybe. Maybe we'll do it.
Is that an episode?
No. Just as like on our Instagram.
We should do a kooky holiday episode.
Yeah.
And I also had a really good New Year's idea for us today.
Oh, cool.
I forgot it though.
Okay.
I'll come back to you.
We'll come back to you.
All right.
Okay.
And welcome back to you.
We're planning, guys.
Next week.
Yes. Thanks so much.
We love you.
Smell you later.
Smell you later.